This scripture lesson for this evening's message is from the Gospel according to John. I'll be reading from the 11th chapter, verse 32 down through verse 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Here ends the reading of these words. May God grant us wisdom and courage for their interpretation. I'm not sure I've ever quoted him before. I'm not sure I'll ever quote him again in a sermon. But Woody Allen has said, 80% of success is just showing up. Now, when it comes to success, he may or may not be right. I'm less convinced. But I believe if you apply these same words to being a compassionate human being, that 80% of being compassionate is just showing up. I think you most assuredly would be correct. Did you know that firefighters have this remarkable tradition? You may be well aware of this. That when one of them dies, particularly in the act of serving, that not only that person's squad or department, but also even firefighters from across the region show up for that funeral. Out of respect for the one who's passed away and to show support to the family who is grieving their loss, they show up in strong numbers. Now, back when deaths of firefighters were so numerous following the 911 tragedy in New York City, it became a real challenge to keep this tradition going because so many were passing away, particularly in, as they served. But public officials and leaders in and around New York put out a call to the citizens of New York, and they begged people, they said, "Please, if you can make it work with your schedule, start going to some of the firefighters' funerals, because we don't have enough firefighters to both be at the funerals and still put out the fires and help in serving in the emergency situation of 911. And so, regular folks not so different from you and me, started turning out in droves to go to these funerals to show public support. And in most cases, those citizens did not know the fallen firefighters, but they came to their funerals anyway. Their presence there at these services came to mean a great deal to the firefighters still serving, and also to the families of the deceased, if for no other purpose, their presence. They showed up. And by showing up, these people helped the fire department and these families to do their jobs, to do their service, and to do their mourning, and to feel love and support, and to find the strength to carry on with what was ahead. Now, showing up in times of need, when someone is hurting, is quite an honorable thing, even though it's quite simple on one hand to do. In some regards, there are times, if we are honest, that we feel completely unqualified to be of any help to someone who is suffering grief or anxiety or despair. And yet the ministry of our presence, showing up, is something we can still do if we are willing. In the Hebrew Scriptures, do you recall the story about the occasion when David, a young man, was serving in the court of the king named Saul? Saul was irrationally jealous of David and wanted very much to murder him. And even though David's best friend was King Saul's own son named Jonathan, Jonathan wasn't even able to persuade Saul, his father, to leave David alone and to stop trying to kill him. And so finally, all that was left for Jonathan to do was to come to where David was as quickly as he could and to warn David to run away fast so that his life would be spared. So the two friends met for the last time, and as the story goes, both feeling very sad about having to part ways. And as the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 20 describe it, Jonathan and David wept with each other before they parted ways. It was Jonathan's presence. It was Jonathan's compassion, in fact, that led to him showing up and saving David's life in that story. Or consider the New Testament incident from Acts chapter 9, where a good Christian woman named Tabitha had died. And some friends asked Peter to come over. And when he got to Tabitha's house, he found a group of widows there, and they stopped weeping just long enough to show Peter some of the clothing that the good woman had made, and in fact, had even given to people in need within the community. These women, you see, were friends of Tabitha's from the neighborhood. And with Tabitha dead, there was not much they could do, but you know what they did? They showed up. They showed up anyway. And while they were there waiting for Peter, you know, I have to use your biblical imagination. I'm sure they were probably doing the dishes that were left in Tabitha's sink, you know. I'm sure they were giving her house a quick once-over, a dusting, doing some tidying up. Maybe they swept her sidewalk. I don't know. It probably wasn't all that much, but you know what they did? They showed up. They did what they could. And they cried. They mourned with Tabitha's family. Now, if we were to spend a few moments reflecting right now, I bet we could all remember times where we knew of someone who was truly heartbroken, who was truly grieving, who was truly anxious or in despair, and we felt really helpless to comfort them, or unsure of how we could offer much of anything in the way of real help. I ask you these questions. Is there really anything anybody could do that would make a difference in the outcome when we're waiting alongside a friend in the hospital waiting room whose spouse is receiving emergency treatment following a terrible accident? Is there really anything we could do that would make a difference in the outcome for someone who has just been told that they have terminal cancer and that it's hopeless? Is there really anything we could do that would make a difference in the outcome for parents, let's say, of an adult child who has just committed a serious crime? What could we really do that would make a difference for friends that just lost, very tragically, their only child? And what about for some friends whose marriage might be falling apart? Is there really anything we could ever do that would change the outcome of all of these situations? Most of the time, we may not actually be able to change the outcome. But if we're willing, we might just be able to change how the outcome is experienced by those nearest to these tragedies by just showing up. Because when we show up, we're providing our presence, and our presence is tangible proof that we care. And when we show, and when we mean it, that we care, when we show up, even if we cannot change the outcome because we believe that somehow something difficult is experienced, like this matters in the long run. If tragedy or heartache, you see, is experienced in isolation, the pain is so much more great. The pain is so much longer lasting. If tragedy or heartache is experienced in isolation, the wounds run much deeper than in situations where a friend is close by, doing nothing else, if nothing else, than just sitting and crying or listening. Maybe we bring water. Or maybe we bring snacks. Or maybe somebody from First Congregational, like we do, brings serious food and cookies. Maybe we offer to watch someone's kids for a few hours. Maybe we hold a hand over our heart as a casket goes by on the back of a fire truck. Maybe we offer to listen. Maybe we offer to say a prayer, even though we really don't know what we're doing. Or maybe, just maybe, we sit with the grieving person and we just cry right along with them. You see, all of these kinds of gestures have a huge importance to people when they're hurting, even if they don't know how to say thank you for these kind of acts. It may sound small, it may sound inconsequential, my friends, but I'm telling you something. These are the kinds of actions that saints do. Saints show up. Saints aren't the perfect people who always know what to say or always know what to do. And sometimes it may not actually mean weeping with people, but saints always make themselves available to others who are suffering, putting aside their own concerns just long enough in some way to go through some small part of the suffering with one who is hurting. And so standing by someone in their troubles is the stuff that really loving one another is all about. Allowing ourselves to be touched by somebody else's pain is something Jesus knew a great deal about. The shortest verse in all of the scriptures was found right here a few moments ago that we read. In the King James Version of the Bible, John 11:35 is just two words. Jesus wept. And he wept because he was with Martha and with Mary, who were grieving over the death of their brother Lazarus, and he stood with them. But you know, he also wept. Now what we are talking about, of course, is empathy, which many people get confused with sympathy, but they're very different, though they are related. Sympathy means to feel pity or sorrow for someone. It's a good thing, sympathy is, but it still stands apart from the grief-causing event. When I express my sadness for you, for what you are going through, I am feeling sympathy. But when I put myself in a place where I allow some of the weight of your agony to fall on some of me too, to feel just a little bit of what it might be like to be in your position, then I'm feeling empathy. Now this is All Saints Sunday, a time to remember our predecessors in the faith and in life who are no longer with us. What makes so many of them saintly in our memories is not that they were perfect, it's not that they did everything just right, but that they showed up when we needed them in our own lives. Saints are not sinless. Saints are not perfect. Saints are present. Saints are accessible. Some of us may think from time to time that anything we could do would be so inadequate in the face of the enormity of someone else's pain, and yet time and time again, showing up even when we feel there's little we can do proves to be remarkably helpful. Urban Holmes, an Episcopalian priest, tells a striking story about a friend of his, a fellow priest, who one summer afternoon was called to a home in his parish, and the only child of a couple in his congregation, you see, had been killed. Now, before the birth of this child, what you need to know is that this couple had tried for many years to conceive and had infertility problems. And now, in a horrible accident, this child they had longed for, prayed for, worked for, and spent so many years working towards, now lay dead in his own front yard under the wheels of his father's own car. The priest felt an oppressive sense of grief himself as he headed for the family's home, sick at his stomach, as he described it. But he went anyway. He entered into the house where the parents sat clinging to one another. The blood of the little son was still on the father's trousers. Before the priest could speak, he broke into uncontrolled sobs, which went on for a long time, he said, before he could collect himself. By the way, there's no pastoral counseling manual I've ever seen that says, weep uncontrollably before counseling someone in need. And perhaps some would say that this pastor had blown it. But some weeks later, the couple told this priest there could have been no more effective ministry to them than what he had done. He had entered with them into the mystery of death, fought the demons of grief right alongside them, and in the process, they said he had become a messenger of hope amidst their despair. So you know something? It's natural to hesitate to help in these kinds of situations when someone is truly hurting. It's natural to hesitate to help out of embarrassment. We don't know what to say. Maybe we're afraid we might break down. Maybe we're afraid that we would appear silly. We convince ourselves that the other person, they really would be better off if left alone. So when we go to comfort someone, let me just say this. There probably are a few things we shouldn't say. And this could be a whole series of sermons. But let me just put this out there that what people don't need to hear are things like, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. Or, you know, God needed that precious little one more in heaven than we did down here. Or, I love this one at an open casket funeral. Oh, she looks so natural. Or, well, you know, you're young. Good thing is you can have more kids. Or, you know, there's more fish in the ocean when a marriage dies. Now, aside from not indulging in stupid and sensitive comments like that, which I'll admit, there in my time, I've almost said a couple. Maybe I did. It wasn't on purpose. But aside from insensitive comments like that, we help most not by what we say, but by the effort that we make to show up for someone who is hurting. And finally, we may hesitate to show up for someone in their pain because of our own pain. You know, this is real. Many of us struggle with our own losses. And yet God does not call us to reach out only when we're on solid ground ourselves. In fact, there's an old legend in the Talmud, which is a collection of ancient rabbinic writings that is a solid basis of religious authority in the Jewish faith. But it goes like this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi came upon Elijah the prophet. He asked Elijah, "When will the Messiah come?" Elijah replied, "Go over there and ask him yourself." "Where is he?" "Oh, he's sitting at the gates of the city." "How shall I know him?" "He is sitting among the poor, covered with wounds himself. The others unbind all their wounds at the same time and then bind them all up again. But he unbinds one wound at a time and binds it right back up again, saying to himself, 'Perhaps I shall be needed. If so, I must always be ready to serve so as not to delay for a moment.'" Even we who are wounded, friends, can be healers when we give the gift of ourselves, when we are available, when we are accessible, when we are present with those who desperately need someone. It's an act of Christian love. At least 80% of compassion is showing up. And today, we give thanks for the saints who showed up for us. And by the grace of God, we will show up for others and be someone else's saint, not because we were perfect, but because we were available and present. Amen.